Bist du soweit?
ja, ich glaube schon. Moment, okay. Ein Schluck Wasser noch.
Hä?
Did you get that?
I'm so confused. Also ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding train station. Living between cultures with Josh and Phelan.
What's up, everyone?
What's up? Welcome back.
I wanted to say, what's up, party people?
Well, I guess maybe our viewers and listeners are party people.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Should we actually introduce ourselves this time? I was thinking about how the last couple times we haven't done that.
That's true. I'm Feely.
You're Feely, and...
Yep. You're Josh.
And I'm Josh. I forget who I am sometimes.
You were looking at me like...
Well, normally you say more than just I'm Feely.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're Feely.
I'm Feely. I'm a German living in the U.S. in Cincinnati, Ohio.
And I'm Josh. I'm an American living in Munich, Germany. But currently, as you can see if you're watching on YouTube, we're together.
In Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati.
Because you are visiting family. So yes. You just, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of new people here, but for those of you who forgot, Josh moved to Munich at the end of last year, beginning of this year, for work.
Yep.
And now you're visiting for Easter. But you're only here for a week, which is
crazy. I feel like for Americans, it's not as crazy to go to a place for a week, but most of the Europeans I've talked to are like, why are you only going for a week? Like, doesn't make any sense. But Americans are so used to not having vacation days that you go places for a short period of time.
Yeah, and we usually have so many vacation days. Like in Germany, it's around 4 weeks usually or more. And going across the Atlantic for us, it seems like it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to only do it for a week.
Yeah.
But
I guess... I don't know how you feel about it, but I've made that trip so many times that I'm so used to it now.
I've never done it for just a week.
Okay.
It's always been a minimum of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I've ever gone for 2 weeks. I think it's always been like three or more. Last time I stayed for like 5 weeks. Last year in the summer, I stayed for 5 weeks in Germany. So, yeah.
Call me crazy. Hey, I wanted my vaccine.
Yeah, that's true. And you're getting it, which is awesome. You're getting the one shot too.
Yep, Johnson & Johnson today after recording.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So today we have an interview guest again.
Yes.
Which,
Cincinnati Connection.
Yeah, Cincinnati Connection. It's going to be our friend Heen, who is originally from Vietnam. We met him when he lived in Cincinnati because he went to the University of Cincinnati for his undergrad. And now he lives in Munich. And yeah, this is a coincidence that he also decided to move to Munich. And he's getting his master's there. But he's going to tell us more here in a second. But before we jump into the interview, of course, we have to talk about our sponsor again, Lingoda.
Lingoda has decided to sponsor us for this month, which we're really appreciative.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I just said appreciative. Appreciative of. And as you guys know, if you've been listening to the last few weeks, they have a special promotion going on right now. Obviously, with our podcast, we're focused on language and cultural differences. And one of the best ways to get to know a new culture is through learning the language. And Lingoda can help you with that.
Yeah, they're an online language school, which means that you can learn the language from home at all different times because they have classes 24/7. So you can take classes whether you live in Asia or Europe or the US. There's always going to be classes for you and also for your level. They have different language levels, of course. And all teachers are native speakers, which is awesome. So even if you've never been in that country or spoken to a native speaker, you will be able to hear how people actually use the language. So yeah, you can learn a language from home, during your lunch break, on the weekends, at night, within 3 months pretty much, because that's the promotion that they're doing. So do you want to tell us what the sprint is, Josh?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you with this program and with Lingoda, you get the German stamp of quality, essentially.
Yeah, they're based in Berlin.
They're based in Berlin, which is really cool. And I was thinking, it doesn't matter if you live in the middle of nowhere in Idaho, you have the chance to really learn from native speakers, like Feely was saying. But yes, they're running this promotion for the sprint, and they had a super sprint, but that's sold out now, like we mentioned in our last episode.
Yeah, so the super sprint was that you would take 30 classes a month for 3 months, but that sold out. So now they only have the sprint, which means that you take 15 classes a month for 3 months. So it's like a little less intense, but it's still intense enough for you to learn the language really quickly.
And you get some skin in the game as well. So you have to make a down payment. But if you attend 15 classes a month for 3 months, you get 50% of that cash back that you have to pay into it. So which is a great, I was actually just talking to my family about this, how trying to get people motivated, getting some skin in the game with some money that you know you can get back is a great way. And also with such a great program like Lingoda's Sprint. So make sure, if you guys are interested, that you sign up by April 16th, and the Sprint starts on April 28th.
Yeah, and as we said, the Super Sprint is already sold out, so be sure that you hurry up and sign up by April 16th, and once you do, you'll have to pay a deposit to secure your spot, and the deposit is usually 49 euros or 59 US dollars, and with our code, which is CHANGE112, you can save 10 euros or $12 on that deposit. So make sure to use that code CHANGE112 when you sign up. And we're going to put both the code and also the link for you to click on to sign up in the description below. So in the video description or the podcast episode description.
So depending on what language you're wanting to improve upon, this could be the perfect program for you. They offer courses in English, German, French, Spanish, and business English if you really want to focus on improving the English that you use at work.
Yeah, I feel like that's actually something that a lot of Germans or, mm-hmm. you know, other Europeans who already speak English might be interested in, because this is going to give you a whole new level of English vocabulary.
So make sure to check it out. Check out the links in the description box to the YouTube video and also in the show notes of the podcast.
Yeah, so should we just jump into the interview with Heen?
Yeah, let's jump over to Heen.
Well, what's up, Heen?
Good, how are you?
Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Heen and my last name is Nguyen. And I'm from Vietnam and I'm currently living in Munich, Germany.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, so you're back in my hometown. Josh's current town, but we're both in Cincinnati right now. You're in Munich. And the place that we both met you was in Cincinnati.
Was
so there's an interesting connection there. You're from Vietnam, moved to the US at some point. We met you in Cincinnati. And then just by coincidence, you decided to move to Munich and get your master's there, right? At the Technical University in Munich.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yes, it's really a crazy story. I mean, the connection between Cincinnati and Munich just grows stronger and stronger, I feel like.
Yeah, but like with him, it's not even a sister city connection or anything else. It's really just such a big coincidence that you ended up in Munich.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Do you just want to tell... I mean, I kind of summarized your story a little bit, but do you want to tell your whole story? Like, where are you from exactly? When and why did
Street,
you...
Street address and everything.
Address? No, just kidding. Like, we're in Vietnam. And when and why did you decide to come to the U.S.?
Yeah, it's a really long story. I'm from Saigon. Well, the official name is Ho Chi Minh City in the south of Vietnam. And... I was born and raised there. When I was 16, I went to the U.S. for an exchange program in 2011, I believe. And this was my first time that I arrived in the U.S., which was in Idaho.
Okay.
A small town nearby Boise. Then I came back for, well, that was my junior years in high school. Then I came back for my senior years in high school in Seattle. I lived 1 year there in Seattle. I was there with my twin brother, you guys have already know Hoa.
Yeah.
And then we applied for University of Cincinnati, and that's where we have completed our bachelor degrees in in Cincinnati.
So that first exchange program, was it a 1 year high school exchange?
Yeah, it was what was it called? I think it's ISE, International Student Exchange, I think.
Yeah,
it was
I think
called.
I've heard of that.
And that was a 1 year exchange, and then we came back to do basically the senior years of high school separately from being exchange. I guess it's more like a private school that we went to.
So when you were living in Idaho for that first year, were you staying with like a host family and everything, like your standard exchange student experience?
Yeah, it definitely was. Well, we lived because we were not 18 at the point, so we have to have a host family to live with. And that's what happened when we were in Idaho as well as in Seattle, where we also lived in a host family. But then when we came to Cincinnati, then started university, then that's when we lived in our dorm, which because we were 18, so we were able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's different. Or your story is a little different than most people's exchange student stories because you were with your twin brother pretty much the whole time, right?
Technically, no. In Idaho, we were not allowed to live in the same city.
Really?
Because the rule of the program was you cannot have two people in the same country that live in the same city.
Wow. So not just not the same family, but not even the same city. That's
crazy. So that was quite interesting. But basically it was like a city that like an hour drive away from each other. And then so he would come to me during the weekend, and then like the family actually would basically notify that, yeah, we're both like brothers, so we should have some time to meet together. So we get some like time that we can meet in the weekend, where they actually drove one or the other to the other houses.
Like visitation hours.
Basically.
How did you find, so like those host families when it wasn't organized through an exchange program? Is there like a private host family matching internet site, or how do you find a host family like just like that?
It was quite interesting because I think it was all organized by that organization.
But the second time when you went back privately, was it still through that organization?
No, it was basically it was hosted by the school. So it's like one of the kind of like a member of the high school.
Got
that
it.
That they would have kids that also go to the same school. So we live with the family.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a really interesting experience, because most people that I know at least go over or come over to the US for just 1 year and do an exchange, but you like, I guess you just liked it here or liked the opportunities that it provided and decided to come back. So that's a pretty non-standard experience, I would
say.
Yeah, I
mean, what were the reasons that you guys came back?
Well, because we really want to do university in the US, and I think my parents was also like wanted us to be abroad. To, I guess, get our higher education, not from Vietnam. But it's just a little bit more of like an wanted to be abroad kind of, you know, thinking of a family. So that was basically the reason why we came to the US. And also we applied for university and we were able to find University of Cincinnati. So that's exactly how we met you guys.
Yeah. Obviously, the U.S. and Germany are relatively similar because they're both Western countries. But I can imagine, like, coming from Vietnam to the U.S. or to Germany would be a significantly bigger difference, or there would be maybe more culture shocks than a German would have coming to the U.S. or an American going to Germany. So what was that like for you? Like, the first time that you showed up to the U.S., were you overwhelmed? What were some of the things that stood out to you? Just in general, those type of things, you know?
Yeah, in the US, well, I guess mostly was the food was different. Well, we didn't eat that much potatoes to compare with where we're from. Because actually, Idaho, funny thing is, it's a potato land, basically.
Right.
Is Vietnam known for potatoes?
No.
He meant, they basically didn't eat potatoes.
Oh, I see
before.
What you're saying. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, I didn't eat that. It's just different kind of carbs that we were eating, and then also bread. Also, one thing is, I guess, eating sweet in the morning. It's not like a common thing in my country. Mm. And I think Germany also eats salty in the morning as well.
I think it's
both.
I
mean, like, not all.
Yeah, some Germans definitely eat like their Nutella bread roll, like Brötchen or Semmel, or, you know, like jelly or something like that, but a lot of people also eat their lunch meat or cheese or something in the morning.
So I guess that's one thing, but also the way that I guess it's been so long for me now, is since 2011, but then the way that we interact, I guess, to the teacher as well, is more direct. You know, like, you don't have this barrier of like student
more direct
and teacher
in the U.S.
Like, in the U.S. To compare with back home, so it's just a little bit, I guess, easy to talk to people as well as approach one another.
So you were in Idaho. There aren't a ton of huge cities in Idaho, right? I'm assuming you were in a relatively small town. Is that correct?
Yes.
I can imagine that would be a big change from going from Ho Chi Minh City to small town Idaho.
Yeah. It was quite interesting because I actually live in three different families, because there was some issues with the
like everyone has
with the host family that I was with. So we have to change because we have a representative who is actually the same representative for me and my brother and some other student from other countries as well. But she was changing my host family because they have some problem, which I'm not sure what it was at the time. But then for my first town was like 10,000 people, but like I live in the town, but then I moved to the representative house, which was a really small town of like 30 people population.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so
my God.
It's basically what we were seeing is just basically green field of potatoes and then horses and cows. So it's a quite interesting experience that I have got to, yeah, to be in the US.
Wow. So I was wondering if high school in the US, if the level was different than in Vietnam, and if so, which one was more challenging?
Yeah, definitely the US was a lot easier. Because I remember my 11th grade, we were doing some algebra or something like this. And because I came there when I finished my 10th grade in Vietnam and I came there as 11th grade. Mm-hmm. But then the math that we were having to take for 11th grade in the first high school was like really simple. So the professor was like, you could either do it this or I can just give you more stuff that is a lot like, you know, higher level than the rest. But then it's just because the stuff that we learned for math, at least, was we have done that when it was 8th grade in Vietnam, and then when we came to the US it's like a little bit lower. But then it was good, so that we get to do we were able to finish them faster. But okay.
I wonder if there's a country where it's easier or where the US is more difficult, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there is, but I feel like everyone we talked to is like, yeah, when we came to the US, math was super easy. Yeah. Like, we were advanced for our grade. So that's not, and the US is aware that that's an issue, but it's just
I didn't want to imply it like that. I didn't want to hate on the US just like that, because I assumed that it was probably easier than Vietnam. It's a lot easier than Germany too, usually. Cool. You then went to the University of Cincinnati, get your undergrad. So that took probably 4 or 5 years. Was it a five-year program?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's
and then
similar to the engineering program.
Yeah. What was your degree?
It's in information technology. So kind of like computer science, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where we met you, because there's like this international student bubble in Cincinnati, kind of.
Yeah.
And we had some friends there, and you were friends with some people, you and your twin brother. And that's where we met. And then after you graduated, you decided to apply to the master's program in Munich. So why did you decide to move to another country? Was it just a, you know, personal motivation? Or did it also, you know, was there some background with you kind of wanted to go to Germany, go to a German university? What were the reasons that you moved away from the States?
Yeah. After I finished my undergraduate degree, I decided I wanted to do something with sustainability, which is actually the program that I'm in. It's called Sustainable Resource Management. So then I started to look elsewhere, because I don't want to pay for a lot of money, I guess, having to pay or asking for the money to pay for this in the US. So I started to look in Europe, and I know that Germany is, the education is for free. So that's why I applied. And I also have in mind, I wanted to also do something in the Netherlands, because there's also some very nice program in the Netherlands, but you have to pay almost the same amount to compare with the US, being a foreigner in the Netherlands as well. So that's actually was one of the reasons why I chose Germany. But also I have friend in Germany, so from Germany, so I just like, maybe you should try to see how it is here. And I think I really enjoyed it here so far, because I think especially with how much green there is in Germany, also like a lot of parks and lakes, which is like a good thing. And being really close to the Alps, Munich is a very good location as well. If we want to go to, you know, the mountains, just go south. And
so was it easy? Now. So was it easy for you to adjust once you moved to Munich? Because I mean, I know that even though you said earlier the U.S. and Germany are both Western cultures, so of course it's like kind of similar, but there's still a pretty big difference, especially with the mentality of the people and the way that university works. Also, I know that you get a lot less support at German universities, and they kind of like just let you do things by yourself, and if you're lost, that's kind of your problem. So yeah, how was it for you to adjust to all of that?
Definitely is a big change in terms of education in Germany. I guess the biggest thing is like how you do tests here, or how you pass a class. It's like in Cincinnati, you basically had to take a class, and then let's say if the class has integrated exercises, then you have to do them, and then that's how you would get the grade, right? To pass the class. But here you can just sign up for a class. You don't have to show up for any class. But as soon as you pass the exam, you get the credits for the class. So it's just quite interesting that, like, it's basically developed a whole new approach on how you could, you know, tackle the classes and the credits you needed every semester to pass. And then, yeah, the professors, some are nice and would be really helpful, but some they'll be like, yeah, it's you're a master student, you're supposed to figure this thing out on your own, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's how things are even for bachelor students. I mean, this all has to do with Germany. We only switched to the bachelor/master system about, like, a little over 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago or something. And before that, German university was very independent. It still is very independent. But back in the day, it was really that you could study for as long as you wanted to, and nobody cared when you passed your tests. It was really all on you, and it wasn't like a school at all, not like a high school. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, in the US, we always say that American colleges are very much like a high school, pretty much. And I think Germany kind of tried to mix the two together when we switched the bachelor's and master's system, but it's still very much independent. And even as soon as you are a freshman at university, they don't really run after you. It's all on you. If you miss a deadline, they're just going to kick you out. Nobody's going to send you a reminder or something like that.
Which is very different to the American university. I remember I had a class once where I forgot. I just didn't do a couple other homeworks. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're integrated homework assignments throughout the semester. I didn't do a couple of them, and I went to my professor, and I was like, because I was going to get a really bad grade in the class then, because I just didn't do it. And I went to her, and I was like, man, it's been a really hard semester for me. I have a lot going on with work and everything. And she said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll open up the homework for you again, and you can go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And that's not how it works at German universities.
And I got like an A in the class, even though I probably should have gotten like a C- or a D.
Yeah. No, we don't even, like, as soon as we start university, the word homework doesn't exist. Yeah. There is no homework. There is papers that you have to write.
There's a Hausarbeit, which is literally homework, but
yeah. Yeah, but it's Hausaufgaben would be the German word that we use in high school, and we don't use that word anymore because that's just not a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, continue. What were there other challenges in university or outside of university in your private social life, everyday life?
Well, I guess, when did you move to Munich again?
It was September 2019. So it's like a couple months before COVID hit.
That's not a great timing.
going back to your question, it's exactly one of the biggest obstacles, I guess, is that COVID was the biggest problem for being social, I guess, that during this time here. So, I mean, like, during the first couple months here, we were able to go around and seeing some friends. And I was lucky enough to attend the Oktoberfest.
Nice.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Did you like it? When.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We went to the one in Munich, but then we also had the chance to go to the one in Stuttgart.
Oh yeah, you guys went to Basen.
Yeah, so that
Wiesen
one
and Basen.
Exactly. That one isn't called Oktoberfest. The only one that's called Oktoberfest is the one in Munich. The other one is called Basen in Stuttgart. It's just another, you know, Volksfest or beer festival in Germany.
Yeah.
That's cool. I've never been to that one, actually.
Neither have I. But I remember Heen and I met up, actually, in 2019 when I was in Munich. And I think I was in my Tracht and my Lederhose.
Yes.
Yeah. We did. It was cool. Yeah, it was a fun time.
Cool.
So how has that adjustment period been for you? Because I assume most of your classes have been online then. So.
Yep, it was. It was on online. And we just have to sit in a Zoom room, literally, like, the whole week, and that was a little bit tiring because you don't have, like, I guess, the time that you're done with school, and this is like a continuous whole weeks of just doing school things.
Mm-hmm.
So then you had to have a Zoom from like 8 to like 5, and then after 5 then you have some time to eat, and then you have to work on, you know, the reports and things like this. So it's quite a lot. But then, yeah, it was manageable. I guess it also depends because I was also a little bit ambitious and taking the classes. So I just, like, squeeze a bunch in. So I just, like, I just want to get it done so that I don't have to worry about it for my last, semesters.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be more free to do my thesis, which is easier.
Yeah, and writing a master's thesis is mandatory for all master's degrees in Germany, just as a background information, because it's not
and
the
a lot
same.
Of people have to write bachelor theses.
Everyone
as well.
Has to write a bachelor's thesis.
Shows you how much I know about the German. The thing is, I'm not well acquainted with the German higher education system.
Yeah, I think we have to explain that because all the Europeans and German listeners right now are going to be like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Of course everyone has to write a bachelor's thesis.
I didn't have to write a bachelor's thesis.
In the U.S., you do not.
No.
In a lot of programs, you do not have to do that. I didn't even have to write a master's thesis for my master's here in the U.S., so.
Heen, did you have to write a bachelor's thesis for your degree from UC?
No, it was not a thesis. It's like a senior project. That's what
exactly. People tend to have senior projects.
Yeah. Yeah, they're usually a lot smaller, though. Like a bachelor's thesis usually takes you like half a year in Germany.
We spend like maybe 2 months maximum on a senior project. But one thing I was going to ask, too, when you moved to Germany, especially because you're probably learning German now, I assume, right? Or no?
Yeah.
I called you out, my bad.
This is the black box for me.
So that's an interesting topic, I think, moving to Munich without speaking any German. We just had a few guests who live in Berlin. And Berlin is, I mean, most German big cities, you won't have too many issues getting around without speaking German. But there's definitely, I would say, a difference between Berlin and Munich. But how was it moving to Germany, trying to find housing and not speak German? What was that process like for you?
It was definitely harder if you don't speak German. I mean, I learned because before I moved to Germany, because I have like some in between time right after I finished my bachelor degree in Cincinnati, I went back home and I took like a basic A1 German class with Goethe Institute. Mm-hmm. And then I came here and having to find housings and all of this, like bureaucracy things, like applying for resident permits and get registration and different things. It was definitely harder because when in Munich, it was easy because the people that I would meet to do this kind of paperwork, they tend to also speak English when they know that you're a foreigner. But when I moved to Freising, no one was speaking English. Like even if they know English, they would not speak to us in English. They would be like only German.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Was this at the Ausländerbehörde, so the foreigner's office?
Yes, the Ausländerbehörde.
Yeah, we just had that topic as well. I don't think they're allowed to speak English because of like the risk of mistranslating.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. I think we need to explain real quick that because I said earlier that you live in Munich and now you said that you live in Freising, which Freising is a small city just outside of Munich. So like to me, I would still say that the general area you live in is the Munich area. Freising is definitely kind of, you know, outside of Munich. And you moved there because your campus is there, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very cute town, actually. Freising.
Definitely. Because it's a different Landkreis. So that's the reason why we have to do a different registration.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
And that's why
different
they have
county.
Two separate system. Exactly, yeah. Counties,
so,
that's the word.
So what did you do at the foreigner's office when they didn't speak English and your German wasn't sufficient to be able to handle all of that? How did you get through that situation?
So I basically asked a friend to come with me, and she's German, so basically I have to ask her to help me to do some paperwork for resident permits mostly, and then I also got my driver license here, like a German driver license, which is also another Greek thing, is the I had my US driver license. And
from Ohio, right?
Exactly. So it was on the list that you can, one of the state that you can actually just transfer. And I pay like 42 euros or something like this. And I got the driver license for 15 years. So basically my driver license in Ohio expired in July. I got my German one in June. So basically I just got a new driver license.
Wow. And you didn't
Germany.
Have to take any tests.
Exactly.
That's
because... I mean, it's crazy the amount of thing that you had to do to get a driver license here.
I mean, yeah, usually you have to pay like 2,000 euros. You have to take like over 30 driving instructor lessons. You have to take the theoretical test, the practical test. And a lot of people, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, maybe in the, when we talked about driving briefly, I might have mentioned that a lot of Germans actually fail the practical test the first time.
I don't recall you saying that.
Maybe not.
I didn't even know that. I'm saying it now.
Yeah. So like I have a lot of friends who are good drivers, but they still failed the first time because... Yeah. Every time you take the test, you have to pay another 250 euros or something.
That's crazy.
And they're just, I think that's part of the reason why they're very picky. So if you do make one little mistake that's not according to protocol,
they can get more money out of you.
They let you fail. And like my brother, for example, failed the first time. Like some of my friends failed the first time or even two times, and then they didn't get it until the third time. So you saved a lot of money and time.
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky.
Definitely. I'll have to talk to you outside of the podcast to get the details because that's still on my to-do list is to get my German driver's license. Right now, I still only have my Ohio one.
How long are you allowed to drive with that in Germany?
I think 6 months.
Okay.
I think.
So you're still in that time frame.
I'm still in the time frame and I've come back to the U.S. now, so maybe that starts again. But that's one of the things that I want to do. I was going to do it right away, but with everything being shut down, I had to get, I guess you have to get your driver's license translated to be able to do it. And everything was shut down and I wasn't about to send my driver's license in via the mail.
Okay. Did you do that? Did you translate your driver's license?
I didn't have to do that.
Really?
No, you don't have to translate. I think English is accepted. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's good for me to know. That's why I said I need to talk to you outside of the interview.
I mean, also, that's just so lucky because, as you said, I think only certain states within the U.S. have that agreement with Germany. I mean, I don't really understand why Ohio would have that agreement because it's not like driving in Ohio is more challenging. Like, I would understand if you're from New York City and you learn driving in the city, you should get the German driver's license. But I would argue that driving in Germany is a lot more challenging than driving in Ohio. So
maybe it's a matter of the practical rules and laws. In practice, I would say probably driving in the U.S. is significantly, at least in this part of the U.S., is significantly more relaxed. But maybe the rules and laws are more comparable to Germany. Who knows?
Yeah, possible. Yeah, was there any other challenges you were facing in the beginning?
Finding houses was also another problem. Is that right before I arrived, my girlfriend's colleagues, well, he was moving out of his apartment. He has like a single apartment and he was going to move away. So I wanted to get this apartment and in the end, I could not get it because the landlord was worried that maybe it's going to be harder for someone who doesn't speak German and as well as being a foreigner. So they didn't know how would the paperwork works out, something like this. So I have to basically look up on Vigagazoox and then, different like eBay, Kleinanzeigens and Facebook group. I don't know how many Facebook groups I joined to try to find a Vigay, but yeah.
So in the beginning, you were looking for housing in Munich or in Freising?
In Munich
Challenging for everyone. That's even challenging for Germans.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's almost like a job interview, basically.
Yeah, you went through the process too.
Yeah, my process was relatively smooth. I think it helps that I have a German last name and also speak German. But I can't imagine I'm sure it happens in the U.S. too, but just housing discrimination based off of the fact that you don't speak German or that you're a foreigner.
Yeah, they just don't want to deal with it, I guess. It's kind of like if you're a foreigner in the U.S. and you're looking for a job, like Heen and I both know it. Like if you apply for a job, they're always going to ask you, do you need to get sponsored? And if you check that box, they're not even going to look at your application in a lot of cases because they don't want to deal with the paperwork.
Yeah, it's just crazy because I feel like that would be illegal. As far as housing is concerned, illegal in the U.S. if you can prove that you're being discriminated.
I'm sure it's not okay to do that in Germany either, but
people get away with it.
Yeah.
But now you were able to find housing, right? So you're in a permanent place now?
Yeah. That's so good. I live in a WG. Well, I guess to explain, WG is Wohngemeinschaft? Wohnung? No? but basically, it's a share flat with four other people. Yeah, so me plus four more. And really close by to campus, and I like it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you get used to the smaller spaces in Germany? Because compared to the U.S., everything's just a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing is that people don't use a drying machine in Germany.
Not as much. Yeah.
Which is, well, similar to back home in Vietnam for us as well. We don't have dry machine. But then that's something that I had to get used to again, that, yeah, you have to hang your clothes after you wash them. But yeah.
Yeah, Germans, I mean, a lot of German households do have a dryer, but we usually, even if you have one, you only use it for certain things like bedding or towels or something like that. We don't usually put all of our regular clothes in the dryer like Americans do it. I get very Americanized with that because I throw a lot of my clothes in the dryer now, which, environmentally speaking, that's not the best thing to do. But, you know, you get used to the convenience
here. And I'm really Germanized.
You like hang everything up?
Even when I was still living in Cincinnati, I bought like a big drying rack and hung stuff up.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think it's better for your clothes, you know, in a way that you dry them with the drying rack. Rather than,
I think so. I mean, it just takes more space and time. Is there any other you know, difficulties, culture shocks, language barriers that you want to share with us?
Yeah, language barrier. I think that's another, the fact that I guess I took English for granted many times that I when I try to get something, so that I tend to just, I would just gonna first try with English and see if the person will be able to help me solve whatever I'm trying to get. And if not, I would try with my very poor German when things would need to be explained in German, then I would be, But most, I guess, since I live mostly with the university setting, so most people speak English, so it's easy for me to get away because, I don't have to try. But then definitely I need to improve on that aspect of improving my German.
Are your roommates German?
Yes, one is German. Two are German.
Okay, but the others aren't. So you guys probably mostly speak English then with each other.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And then I think your master's program is mainly in English too, I'm assuming.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Did you continue learning German? Did you take another class once you came to Germany?
Yeah, I did. I took to B1. But then, because the classroom setting that we were in was not, I don't know, what for me, it's not a very practical way for me to improve my German. It's more like, I was able to learn the grammar and get better with understanding the structure of the sentences. But then, I wasn't, I guess I was too shy to speak German outside of the classroom, I would say. But I try.
I mean, that's the case for a lot of people. They just feel uncomfortable speaking it until they're pretty good, and then that's when they start speaking it. But sometimes you're just forced to do it, right? So I guess every now and then you have to kind of speak it. So that's
you just
good.
Need to go more into the mountains where people don't speak as much English, and then you'll be forced to learn it.
Well, I guess in Freising, it's kind of the case.
Yeah, true.
A little bit that people don't speak English everywhere.
Do you have a specific story that you tend to tell people about, when English didn't help you, or a crazy cultural story that you've had struggles communicating with people?
Yeah, I guess I guess that's from the KVR. Sorry, the Kreisverwaltung
Referat.
When I was trying to set up an appointment, I was having to basically trying to say that I have an appointment, ich habe einen Termin, something like this, and trying to tell them, I have one, or I'm trying to set up one, and get around. But in the end, they are very helpful and just show me that here's the way, where you should go and all of this direction. But beside that, I don't know, not too many crazy stories about my side.
Well, let's maybe move on to the next topic then, because we were wondering if your experiences were very different between the US and Germany being Asian, especially in the past few months, with all of the things that happened with racism in the US and, I mean, in other parts of the world, especially with COVID also. What was your experience like with that? Did you have any good experiences, bad experiences? Was it different between Germany and the US?
In the US, no, I didn't have much of... I don't know. I guess it also depends on the group of people that I was surrounded with. Well, I guess in a college setting, it's more yeah, like very international, like a lot of international students and also the younger generation. So I didn't experience much of I guess, racism toward Asian when I was living in the U.S., which is a couple years, I guess, 2 years back. Mm-hmm. Then in Germany, I guess I didn't notice or I didn't experience anything because I didn't look for it, I guess. But in a way, I have read the news and I have seen what is happening in the U.S. and then and also like at the beginning when COVID started to happen here in Europe, and I have read the news, but mostly in I think France was quite bad with some cases, but then, I don't know, in Germany, I didn't experience anything that I would say significant to.
Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah, I guess that's good news.
Have
right?
a story
Glad
about. To hear that.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's maybe go back to like major cultural differences. So, what would you say are the main differences between your life in Vietnam, your life in the US, and your life in Germany now? Like when you think of it, what's the first thing that comes to mind to you that was different? Except, of course, you have your family in Vietnam, so, but besides your family.
Yeah, I guess in Vietnam is, well, also the fact that I'm come from a very big city, so mm-hmm. Fast moving life, basically. Yeah, like you go outside and you just see motorcycle running really quickly, and then everything had to be quick, otherwise you'll be left behind. Mm-hmm. And then in Cincinnati, well, in the US, I guess if you were in New York, that would be in the same kind of situation. But yeah. In Cincinnati, where like Midwest cities, which is very calm and chill, and also in a college town like Clifton, then it's very, yeah. Relax, and I guess just I never experienced anything else of that. And I guess also my time in Idaho or Seattle, yeah, I was too young to I guess experience this this way of life. But beside that, I guess just the food are different. The way that you would eat is different, because in the U.S. that for me there was no after I lived with the host family. But when I was living with host family, then there's three defined meals, which is also similar to what we have, but a little bit different what we eat. I guess that's one of the things is culture is food. So food is one thing. And then second is just, it's more relaxed for me, I think, in Vietnam. Even though it's fast moving life, but then like people tend to be laid back and they don't take things too seriously. You can just work in the morning by 6 p.m. Everyone just go to the pub together.
Okay.
Well, not a pub, but it's more like drinking together with friends in some small places around the cities. But beside that, I could not think of anything now.
Okay, and then with Germany, what's like the main
and Germany?
Germany.
Yeah, I feel bad because I could not talk much with my experience here in Germany, because most of the time I was at home. Stuck in lockdown, because it's just constant waves of lockdown. And beside that, it's nice here that when people, well, like with my German friends here and also like other college friends, the nice thing is people like to go to the lakes or let's say like go to the parks and just have a couple beers. And I really miss going to beer gardens, which is like another thing that I really like is because it's really nice to have big space where you can just sit on a big bench with a lot of people together.
Yeah.
So that's some very good experience that I enjoy when before lockdown.
Yeah. Hopefully soon again.
I was gonna say hopefully when everything loosens up, we can, and maybe if you're in Munich too, then we'll have to meet up and go to a beer garden for sure.
How much longer is your master's program?
This is my last semester, so I'm doing my master thesis this semester. Yeah.
Okay. So, do you have plans for what you want to do afterwards? Do you want to stay in Germany, move back home? You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but I'm just curious.
Well, for now, I don't know. I don't know yet what's gonna happen because Let's I guess right now I just gonna play with whatever gonna come within the next couple months.
Makes sense. Well, I'm hoping for you that before, if you end up leaving Germany, that you at least get to experience you know, social life in Germany one more time. Yeah. Hopefully the lockdowns are going to end soon, but it seems like it's kind of chaotic in Germany. I'm kind of glad that I'm in the US right now and missing all of that chaos in Germany.
It's pretty chaotic. What I would be interested in knowing, kind of like the differences between the US and Germany that you've experienced, like what do you miss from the US? And what are the things in Germany that you found that you really love and that you think you would miss if you weren't in Germany?
Definitely the public transport station here in Germany, which is, I mean, I guess, I think it's everywhere in Germany, I guess, because train is very common, which I find very sad that it's not a thing in the US anymore. I know that in the past there were a lot of trains going around, like in the movies, you know, but then here I like the fact that I don't have to worry about, like if I'm going to go to one place, then I have to be, let's say if I want to have a drink with a friend in the US, then I have to drive or either I take an Uber. But then like with a train here, like you can save a lot of money and then you can go home safely. Maybe with, if you go with someone, then it's also very safe on the public transport as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you miss anything specific from the US? You're allowed to say no.
I miss the college life, I guess, to go into, well, it's not quite common. I mean, there's a couple in Munich, like Irish pub, this kind of places, which is, I really enjoy going to, playing billiards and darts with friends or pool. Which is something that it's not very common in Germany, I would
say. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Like, we do have a lot of bars and restaurants. Of course, Germans do find a lot of reasons and occasions to drink, but we don't have that pub culture, just like the US does or, you know, the UK does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, though?
Well, it's hard because I was a student, so it's more of just, being with friends and and enjoying the college life when I was in the US mostly. Mm. So I, beside that, no.
Okay.
It's tricky too with COVID.
I mean, I usually say I miss Mexican food in Germany because we don't have a lot of good Mexican food.
True.
Is there good, there good Vietnamese food in Munich? Because I don't know if I've gone to a lot of Vietnamese restaurants living in Munich.
Yeah, there's a couple. I think in Berlin probably is a bigger Vietnamese population than Munich. But I have found some very good ones. Maybe we can go when you guys are back.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of Vietnamese people even in Munich. Because, like, at least in my school, which, like, German schools, so my school was from 5th through 12th grade. So it was, you know, a lot of people. But in every grade, there were at least, like, I don't know, 10 Vietnamese students. Because, you know. Yeah, we had a lot of them. But we had a lot of people from other places too. Yeah. A lot of people from former Yugoslavia, Turkey, you know, all over the place.
Very international school.
I guess, but I mean, there is a lot of Vietnamese people pretty much all over the world because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess second generation Vietnamese, which might not be the same for you. I don't know how you view that, because for me it's like different if someone is actually German and grew up in Germany, or if someone's parents are German but they grew up in the US, then I'm like, I guess you're kind of German, but you're not the same as me. So I don't know how you experience that.
Yeah, actually I have a friend family friends who is like a second generation. Mm-hmm. I guess, would it be second generation or first generation? I think it would be first generation because his parents are Vietnamese from Vietnam, but he was born and raised here in Germany.
Okay.
So he basically, like with Vietnamese name and like Vietnamese looking, and then he just very German in a way. I don't know. It's interesting. Well, I guess it's the same for me to see a Vietnamese in the US, first generation Vietnamese.
Right.
Which is, we still share the common cultures and the common, things. But then they have a little bit more of, big German or Americans in them.
Yeah.
I was just watching Crazy Rich Asians on the flight over from Munich to Cincinnati. And they talk about one of the main characters, she's American Chinese or American. Yeah, I think American Chinese. And they call her a banana because she's yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Yeah. I just recently watched that movie, actually.
I have a question for you guys. What is the meaning of the names of the podcast?
Okay.
Yes.
So we explained this, I think, in the first episode, but the name Understanding Train Station, the whole thing would be I only understand train station, which in German is Ich verstehe nur Bahnhof. And that is an idiom that basically means I don't understand anything. So yeah, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense when you hear it at first, but it's just kind of a funny saying that we say in German. Like, you'll say it with your kids and mm-hmm. you'll say it with each other, like with friends. You'll just be like, oh, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof, just meaning you're totally lost. So yeah, that's why we picked that.
Exactly. And I always say, like, the hope of the podcast is through the podcast that we help people be able to understand train station.
Meaning?
So if something isn't understood at first, after listening to our podcast, hopefully you have a little bit more understanding.
Yeah. Huh. So it's a wordplay.
Nice. Yeah. It's very complex to explain.
It is complex. I mean, it's mostly something that, you know, Germans
would catch on to it.
Yeah, Germans will know right away what we mean. And for the rest, some of the American or like English speaking listeners and viewers were like, so I totally thought this was a podcast where people talk about trains. And we haven't even talked about trains a single time.
Well, we did today now. It's a little bit about trains.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you. I learned something new today.
Yes, if you want to use that, Germans are going to be impressed. If you're lost and you don't understand anything what they're saying, just go with Ich verstehe nur Bahnhof, and they're going to be really impressed with you. So.
Yeah, with the Ausländerbehörde people.
Exactly.
That's what that should be like on your little card of sayings for that day.
Well, cool. Yeah, thank you for being on the podcast with us.
We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and give us some input into your experience. Yeah, it's been really interesting to hear, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I also hear that you guys have snow in Munich, or you got snow yesterday.
No, it's snowing right now.
It's insane.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not there right now.
Me too, because we have literally summer weather here in Cincinnati, so yeah.
Yeah, it is snowing right now.
That's crazy. Well, I guess greetings to Munich. And
stay warm.
And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks again to Heen for the interview. It was cool to basically have a video call with home.
Yeah. It was weird for me, too, because I just saw his girlfriend to drop off the mic for the interview right before I left. And
yeah, right. That's why the quality was hopefully kind of decent, even though Heen does not have a recording studio. Yeah. Because before Josh left for Cincinnati, he left his microphone that he usually uses with Heen so that he could use it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a technical challenge. Hopefully everything turns out fine. But thanks again to Heen. It was really interesting hearing your story more in detail rather than just kind of in passing like we've had in the past and persönliche Treffen and meeting in person. But
yeah, you don't like usually sit down with a friend like that and just ask them all these questions about their story. Like, you kind of learn about it step by step here and there. I don't think I ever did that with you. Mm-mm. Like, hey Josh, so what's your story? Tell me everything.
But I think we got so used to like having to tell our stories at things like Stammtisch and whatnot that we got a relatively good overview. But you're right, with like average friendships, you don't do that very often.
Not really. It's kind of, you know, it's not very casual to do that with a friend.
So thanks to you guys for providing this platform for us to be able to learn more about our friends.
Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you want to give us feedback or reach us, you guys already know that you have different ways to do that. You can either send us an email at understandingtrainstation@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram and send us a message on Instagram at instagram.com/understandingtrainstation.
Yeah, or if you're just on the Instagram app, you just put in Understanding Train Station.
Depending on what generation you're from.
Exactly. I do know that some people use Instagram in their browser, which is interesting. You can also support us with money. How did we say last time? Support us
Monetarily.
Monetarily. See, that's the business English part. you can support us monetarily on either Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee. The links are patreon.com/understandingtrainstation or buymeacoffee.com/UTS podcast. If you do that, thank you guys so much for the support. And of course, we always want to hear your feedback and your comments, your personal experiences in the YouTube comments also. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about the episode. We love reading those, even if we don't reply to every single thing. But I actually do read all of them. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening in the audio version right now, you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, I don't know if there is review.
I don't think on Spotify there is. Yeah. But if whatever platform you're listening to has a review option, then make sure to let us know how you enjoyed the content that we're making.
Yeah, and you can subscribe too, of course. Mm-hmm. And with that, you will hear from us next Thursday.
Bis nächste Woche.
Tschüss.